Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Thank you much for the worship. That was awesome. It's good to hear Catherine sing, leading some songs. They've stepped out. That was awesome. Praise the Lord. I've got some points here to bring up, and I want to be able to get through as many as possible before I get the signal. My mother-in-law's here, Sybil. My father-in-law's here, Billy. We're glad to have y'all. And thanks so much, media team and sound. And I just want to talk to you guys tonight. The Lord put this in my heart. And, you know, these glasses are not working for me very well. I may be doing this. No, but I just simply titled this Vessels. And we just want to jump right into it. When you hear the word vessels, what are some vessels y'all think of? Vessels. Just shout it out. Vessels. A ship. Vessel, ship is a vessel. Any kind of other vessels? I'm sorry? Yeah, something that holds it up, a cup, a bowl, a kettle, you know. What kind of different shapes do you think some vessels are? Vessels, wide mouth vessels. Marla does some canning. She loves those wide mouth jars because you can empty them good. But there's different shaped vessels. Large vessels, skinny vessels, wide mouth vessels, narrow vessels. Definition for this word vessel. A container such as what we just mentioned for holding something. Liquid, aggregate, I mean just anything that will hold something. And that's definition one. Number two is a person into whom some quality, such as grace, is infused in them. A vessel. I've heard that, you know, that's biblical. And so the third is a tube or canal, such as an artery, blood vessels, you know, that was different. I expected boat and stuff, but when I got to thinking, you know, an artery is a vessel. It's just transporting our blood and everything. Such as blood, it contains it, it circulates, and it conveys that. And I just had a thought that we are a transfer vessel conveying the gospel. It's a different way to look at it. Instead of holding that grace that is in us, we're supposed to transport it, transfer it, share it, you know? Anyway, that's a whole nother lesson. But point one is new and old, and it's not necessarily in regards to age, but principles and ideas. Luke 5, 36 and 39 talks about new and old, if you'll pull that up, Luke. And then Jesus gave them this illustration. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and uses it to patch an old garment, for then the new garment would be ruined and the new patch wouldn't even patch the old garment. And then I'll keep going. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. That's the new wine into old wineskins. For the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine must be stored in new wineskins. And then finally, but no one who drinks the old wine seems to even want the new wine. The old is just fine, they say. So this new wine, old wine, new wineskins, old wineskins. There are many different types of wine in the world today. And you can go down, you know, Bruce's Foodland has a whole aisle just about dedicated to wines. And but these wines, and really the origin of wine, originates from the Mediterranean. Italy and the Jewish celebrations, pivotal, like weddings. That's you got to have new wine. Anybody know what new wine is in reference to old wine? Yeah, one is basically juice. That's what we drink when we do the Lord's Supper. It's a grape juice, and it's a new wine. It's been freshly pressed. Marla makes she makes muscadine juice, and what they would call that is a new wine. And she also makes jams that are awesome, and jellies that are even better. And she preserved these, and it's really good stuff. My dad, on the other hand, and this brings us to the old wine. My dad, on the other hand, decided, and I don't know, I was about 20 or something. I sipped wine one time and almost threw up. I just never wanted it anymore. Never tasted beer. But my dad decided he wanted to make blackberry wine, which sounds good if it's new wine. But he was experimenting. That's what I called it. That's his experiment. Because you would go in his makeshift kitchen there, and he'd have bottles upon bottles upon bottles of blackberry juice. He picked some blackberries, and he wanted it to be fermented. And that's really the difference in new wine and old wine. New wine will go through a process, and it does produce a percentage of alcohol. But if you add yeast or if you add sugar or other additives, oh, man, it becomes somewhat inebriating, and actually a lot. So he was just experimenting and wanted to make some blackberry wine. Both of these have to undergo a lot of process. When you start talking about wine, it takes a lot of berries to create, you know, a little bit of juice. We have a pretty productive vine of muscadines at our house, and it was just overwhelming. I was like, I'm not going to let those go to waste. I'll pick them. I picked a 5-gallon bucket full of muscadines, beautiful purple-type lavender, almost black. They were so dark. And Marla would press them and squish them and then boil them and then drain them and strain them. It was a huge process. And then that's just to get the juice. Then if you're going to do jam, you have to add, what's that called? Pectin to make it jelly up, and you have to cook it in the pressure. It's a big process to do this. And the same is true for the old wine. It takes time, 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 time. They say some of the best wine in the Mediterranean is in Italy because it's 100 years old. They just put it in there and just forgot about it and said, one day that's going to be good. Well, it's old wine if you want the old wine. But the better stuff is new wine. It's just juice. You know what I mean? And so, but Jesus created, and I just want to touch on this because it is the very first miracle. Jesus created new wine without any process, without any vineyard, without anything at all. He turned water into wine without boiling it. A lot of times I say that because a lot of times, in order to preserve this grape juice, this new wine, it had to be two things. It had to be under 75 degrees, and in the Middle East, that's just not an option most of the time. So they would boil it down to where it was just the syrup almost, and they would preserve that syrup in jars and in vessels. And then when they wanted something other than water, they'd take some water and add that concentrate, basically, and they'd have some tasty little juice other than water. None of that happened on that day. Mary simply said, do what he tells you to do. And the first thing he looked for was a vessel. He said, fill these vessels to the brim with water. So anyway, that's an awesome story, the new wine and what Jesus did. But the miracle and the principle is what that story is amazing about. So vessels. We want to talk about earthen vessels, clay or stone pottery. There used to be a used to be a place called Miracle Pottery up here. I think they burned and went out of business, but they had some amazing pottery. If y'all had ever been in there, they had coffee cups and bowls. They were glazed and just beautiful pottery, but they were earthen vessels. It was just, you know, dirt and water, and you make it, you cook it, and then you preserve it, but they were just earthen vessels. It is said that Jesus created 120 to 160 gallons of new wine at Cana's wedding. That's in John 2, just for reference. But vessels, earthen vessels. What I want us to do now is look at 2 Corinthians 4, starting at verse 5 together. You said we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let there be light in darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now soon be gone, but the things that we cannot see will last forever. And let's see. Yeah, that was it. And I know that was a little bit lengthy, but it's so powerful. It was so rich in principles, you know? And it's so encouraging. Because a lot of times, have y'all ever heard of this group called Jars of Clay? Marla and I, we've got a CD that was back in the 90s? Anyway. What's a CD? What's a CD, right? Just dated myself, but I'm good with it because I got one of those towers of CDs. But Jars of Clay was a group back then. But what happens when this vessel breaks? I mean, if they're just earthen vessels, they can't be very strong. I mean, it's not like they're metal or copper or something that's very enduring. They break, they crack. And so There was a lot of broken jars and pottery back in the biblical days, because for them, they had to have a vessel to carry their obviously new wines. They had to have vessels in order to eat out of, plates. We go to Walmart and get plates from anywhere, but they had to produce their. To be a potter was a very good trade. Number one, everybody wanted to eat on a plate. Or eat their soup out of a bowl. Number two, they broke all the time. I mean, if something was wrong with it, you just throw it out, just discard it. Back in Leviticus, I can't remember what chapter, but they give you strict discussions and instructions on how to deal with vessels. If this vessel is cracked, you discard it and throw it away. It's defiled. If this vessel is holding something that's gone rancid, okay, you just throw it out. It's no good. If this vessel is on the table and a fly jumps off in it or something falls in it, that vessel and the contents in that vessel are defiled. You just throw them out. That's Leviticus. It's just rules and guidelines, which are very critical. But pottery was broken all the time. I mean, to be a potter was a very good trade, actually. But what happens when we are broken? As vessels, as holding and containing the love of God and the grace of God and the mercy, the great mercy of God, what happens? Because just like the apostle described, we are very fragile clay pots, but we hold so important. We hold the grace and the mercy that will change, that could change the world. If we would convey that as vessels to the world, and if the world would receive it, it would change our government, it would change our schools, it would change everything. What happens when we are broken as vessels? In Psalms 31:12, David says this: I am ignored as if I were dead, as if I were a broken pot, cast out and thrown out. Worthless is what he says. And David experiences feelings of being rejected as if he were dead. You know, some religions practice shunning. We don't have to talk about that and have a big debate, but they practice shunning. If something is done that's not according to what they believe, they shun them. And that is as if they were never born. Can you imagine a family member treating you that way? This is where David is at. He's utterly broken. And actually, to be relative, when Solomon was there, he was after David. And you can imagine how he almost blacklisted David from everybody in the community. Don't give David what he needs. Don't do this to David. And I'm sure this lend to the way David was feeling, how he was cast out. He also felt like a broken vessel that was useless, tossed aside, destitute, and worthless. But you know, at no point did God abandon him. At no time did God turn his back on him, turn away from him. It was all generated from outside sources. And it got into David's head, into his heart, until it grieved him so that he just thought it was over. He wasn't going to be able to overcome this. But God restored him, even to king, and gave him everything he needed. God never leaves us. And that's in Hebrews 13:5. Do you have that one? Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. That is such an encouragement. If you want to get Ephesians 4 ready. One question that I had was, when I started researching this, and I really have always questioned it, it sounded like the old wineskins were just tossed out, kind of like a pottery. It's old, we used it, it's done. We throw it out. But in my research, in most of these, this was in pastor's office. This is a cool looking little water bladder. But this is not necessarily what the wineskins looked like, because most of the skin, that may be goat skin, but I don't know. But they would cure the goat skin, and that's what they actually used the wineskins with. And it's not like I guess they could make special little vessels like that. But the pictures I saw and the research I saw, they take the whole goat, cure the goat, and tie it up and bind it, and that's what they put their new wine in. And so my thought was, well, what do they do with the old wineskins? You know, new wineskins good, old bad skin. No, that's not the case. Old wineskins are not just discarded. They were still useful. And the cool thing about leather is it can be reconditioned. And so what they would do is, because the outside was exposed to the elements, but the inner wine preserved and hydrated the inside. So what they would do once that wine was out, they would take the wine, the old wineskin, and just condition it, cover it with leather, work it, soak it in oil to help recondition it. And there in Ephesians 4, I want to read this scripture to you. I got about 5 minutes and I'm going to get the signal. With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Hopelessly confused. Wow. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on new nature. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven us. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again. And again, let us go on instead to become mature in our understanding. And so when we talk about us as a vessel and holding the grace of God and the mercy of God, or us as a vessel conveying the mercies and love of God, there are times when we will end up being broken. It may be something that took place in the church. I've been part of heartaches in the church more times than I wanted to be, right? It may be a friend, a best friend, whose relationship has went separate ways. I've experienced that as well. It may be a marriage. It may be some other kind of relationship where you wind up broken and hurt and don't know exactly what to do. And he's calling us to renew in Ephesians, to renew and rededicate. A lot of times people refer to it as rededication. And we have to recondition our hearts, recondition our minds, first of all, because David, in his mind, he was defeated in his mind. And so his emotions and heart was broken, but his mind needed to be renewed. And that's what we can do. The very first thing that we do when we want to renew ourselves is get God's word on your phone. I love the YouVersion app. On a Bible, get it out and start reading it. That's a spiritual book of God's love to us. It's a spiritual book, but it affects us. It provokes us to righteousness. It provokes us to holiness. And it changes the way our thought pattern is. It changes the way we think. We can go through years and years and years of certain actions or certain practices, but when we look into the mirror of God's word, it changes the way we think about a certain subject. We need to be renewed in our thoughts through the Holy Spirit. One way to renew our hearts, renew our relationship with the Lord is, I found, and this is not on the scripture list, but Revelations 2, 4 through 5. He's speaking to the church of Ephesus there in Revelations, and he says, return back to your first works. Do you see how far you have fallen? You don't love like you used to. You don't love each other like you used to. He calls us to go back to our first love and our first works. That's another way to renew our walk with the Lord. And then we put on the new nature. You know, in Psalms it says, put on the garment of praise. That alludes to putting on a coat. You actually put it on yourself. Even when it's not comfortable, you just put on that new nature and do it. And so, how many of y'all ever heard of Kintsugi? Kintsugi. I think we have an image of Kintsugi. Ancient Japanese art form. Not an ancient Japanese medicine or meditation. It's an art form. And if you'll put that image up there of the big bowl. Have y'all ever seen any of this? Okay, the art form is when they take a vessel, usually clay. Y'all ever seen china, fine china? They'll take some fine china that's supposed to be really nice, and they'll bust it and break it. And then they take that to increase the value of it and in artistic value, they'll put it back together with gold. And this is what they come up with. It's an ancient Chinese art form called Kintsugi. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. Can you move to that one real quick? That is actually pretty bold. The first one I saw was ugly, but it was gold. Each time he said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can work through me." In our weaknesses, God works miracles. In our weaknesses and in our brokenness, he said he is close to a broken and contrite heart. He was close to David at that time. He's close to each and every one of us. No matter what you've gone through, no matter your experiences, no matter your heartaches, God is there with us. He is pulling us. He's encouraging us. And we should all allow God to put us back together using the medium of the blood of his son. The medium is that art part. The gold, that was the medium. The clay vessel, that was the medium of an artisan. Just no different than a canvas with oil paints and brushes. That oil and that canvas, those are all mediums that the creator or the artisan uses. Well, God's son and the blood that was shed, that's what pieces us back together. And it makes us not very valuable. Like that bowl right up there, it may have been worth, I don't know, $100,000, which it's a long ways from clay to, $100,000. I don't know the value of it. I'm just throwing that out there. But it increases the value through the blood of Christ when he puts us back together and heals our vessels, heals our hearts. He makes us priceless. No money could purchase it. We're not going to look the same, just like this bowl doesn't necessarily look the same. When I first looked at it, like I said, the first one I saw was just ugly. It was, I didn't like it. But this one actually doesn't look too bad. Well, but it doesn't look the same. Once it was broken and scattered and put back together, I've done that before. I've tried to fix a coffee cup, and it'd work a little bit, and then the whole thing would fall off, and it'd be all together broken. I'm not good at Kintsugi. Not good at all. But the deal is, that bowl doesn't look the same. No different than we're not necessarily going to look the same. We may not feel the same after God has put us back together. We may not trust the same, depending on what you've gone through, what you've endured, the betrayal you may have endured. You may not trust the same, but God puts us back together where we can trust. He is the great healer, not just of our bodies, but of our emotions, of our minds. He heals us utterly from the inside out. And some may struggle to even love the same. Because once you go through a betrayal time and something's gone wrong and you end up broken, it's hard to love sometimes. But But God's blood, Jesus' blood, makes us priceless. And his love never changes or fails us. It heals us completely and utterly. So I've got a music video that's really neat. Millie wore a shirt tonight. It's an awesome shirt. She's got her jacket on. I'm not going to make her model that. But it was an awesome shirt. And, Yeah. And God makes masterpieces out of pieces. And this video is really neat. I think it goes along with the lesson. And let's watch that. Can you cue that up? Amen. He's putting the pieces back together. Don't know what any of us has been through. I know what I've done through, been through. And God has pieced me back together. And he continues to put me back together. So if you're here tonight and you want some prayer, I'll be up here. That's perfectly fine. But just go in peace and in God's love and know that he is putting the pieces back together. Amen. Amen. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you so much, God, for your loving mercies, your great grace, God, that holds us together. God, it is your mercies, God, that make us. It is your holiness, God, that we can even approach your throne. It is through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you so much, God, for the way that you move in us. Now touch these, bless these, God, and protect these. Lord, thank you for this church, and thank you for every member of this church. And God, I pray that you use us on a day-to-day basis, God, to be a witness to our co-workers, to our family members, to our friends, God. We thank you, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen.